Hello and welcome to PharmaLex Talks podcast. Today I'm speaking with medical devices and IVD expert Terence Teal, or TJ as he's better known, about the Vitro Diagnostics Regulation, or IVDR, which will be implemented on the 26th of May of this year. As with the Medical Devices Regulation that was implemented last year, IVDR replaces a directive, the IVDD, and we will be talking about the move, what the move actually means for the industry. TJ is Senior Director and Principal Consultant for Medical Devices, IVD, and he has worked in quality and regulatory affairs in the Australian, US and European medical device and diagnostics industry for more than 20 years. Welcome, TJ, and thank you for taking the time to share your knowledge with our audience.
Hello, Elizabeth, and thank you for that introduction.
Okay, so let's begin by looking briefly at what led to the introduction of IVDR.
Well, it's a good question, Elizabeth. Ultimately, this came out of a situation with medical devices rather than IVDs. And in particular, it was some medical devices that had a lot of issues. So breast implants and surgical meshes that were being used in Europe led to a lot of people being sick, injured, and hospitalized. So this raised some questions about how these products could be brought to market without having significant regulatory approval, and whether and how these products would remain on the market despite the problems that they faced. So that really forced the hand of the regulators and the notified bodies in Europe to make the review and approval process more stringent, as well as ensuring that all post-market checks are in place, ultimately to ensure that good quality products were going to market. So with the revision to the medical device regulation, this prompted them to look at the IVDs as well. And so just a little background on these products, whereas the directive for medical devices went through about five or six iterations, the IVDD, or otherwise known as the in vitro diagnostic directive, only went through a couple. So not only were we having this issue with patients getting sick and injured on the medical device side, the regulators realized that the IVD hadn't been updated for a while. They looked at the language contained in the IVD directive, and it hadn't kept up with current technology or terminology at the time, especially in regards to software and how software is involved in medical devices and diagnostics. So the European Commission decided that they would revise both, moving the MDD to the MDR and the IVDD to the IVDR.
Thank you, TJ. That puts the IVDR into clearer perspective. What then are the major issues that the new regulation bring about for manufacturers and obviously for the general public?
Well, that's the big pressing question. I think the biggest thing that you're seeing here is that 80 to 85% of products in Europe under the IVDD were self-regulated, which effectively meant that if you had a quality management system and you met the essential requirements, which was determined by the manufacturers themselves, you could self-declare for the CE marking and distribute throughout Europe. Now, effectively, that's been flipped on its head, and the IVDR is basically saying that about 90% of products will have to get reviewed by a notified body before they're eligible to be distributed in Europe. So you might have had enough documentation to justify the essential requirements, but now you've got to go through the process of making sure that you can fulfill a notified body assessment. And that means your documentation has to be a lot more substantial. You have to have a lot more records and evidence to that documentation, which you need to keep in file. And furthermore, you've got to go through that process with the notified body, which takes some time.
Thank you, TJ. It certainly sounds like manufacturers will need to be a lot more accountable for their products. So why is the notified body process so time-consuming?
It's a great question. Ultimately, the biggest factor is that there's only a few notified bodies that can give certification under the IVDR. Where we used to have about 30 plus notified bodies that could give certification for IVD products, now we're down to six, with a seventh coming on board shortly. So not only do you have a situation where 90% of products need a notified body review, you've now reduced the number of notified bodies by about 75%. So you've hit a perfect storm, so to speak, where everybody needs a review, but there's not enough people to do it. So if we go back to the previous question you asked about the impact on consumer, ultimately what it could mean is that products that consumers use currently, which had been self-declared under the IVDD, now might not be available under the IVDR. And that might be because the company decides the process is too long, that they don't want to create new data or go back and create new data for products that have been on the market for many years, or they might just be in the queue with the notified bodies. And at that point, they could be out of stock and no longer able to supply to the European market. So what you might see, while consumers might have had multiple choices in the product that they use in some product categories, those products may no longer be available.
That's obviously a massive issue. Given these complexities, how are companies adjusting to new requirements?
Thanks, Elizabeth. Unfortunately, I'd say they're adjusting very poorly right now. A lot of them have been asked, you know, to compare what they or they're trying to compare against what they've previously been doing. And when we think about these new requirements under the IVDR, you've got diagnostic companies that are asked to be doing stuff that they have never done before. So you've asked them to do things that they're not familiar doing, that they're not used to doing. And so they've have to now go through the process of creating procedures, records, and do actual testing, including clinical and stability testing if necessary. So, and even in the areas of post-market surveillance, clinical studies, stability, and usability, these all might be new requirements that where they were able to justify under self-declaration, but in the future, they can't do that. So we're seeing a lot of companies struggling to keep up. That means that some won't be able to supply product. And the other thing is that these products come under quality management systems that might require updates as well. And with every update, all downstream work instructions and forms need to be updated. So you have a situation, you've got more and more work being pushed to diagnostic companies that may have had maybe 3-4 people in their entire quality and regulatory organization. That's a problem.
Okay. So is that down or just is that down to just not having the resources?
It's that they don't have the resources and they don't have the experience. Those two things together are making it very challenging for our colleagues in the manufacturing of medical devices and IVD products.
Given those challenges, what are the main points you would suggest that these companies focus on to ensure they achieve compliance with the IVDR so they can continue to sell their products?
Great question. Ultimately, the biggest recommendation I can provide is to really prioritize and be strategic in how you're applying these updates. I hate to sound like the bearer of bad news, but there may be some products that you just don't want to improve or update the documentation for. And that's going to be a realistic outcome of this. So you have to instead prioritize those higher class or higher risk devices that you want to keep on the market.
What does that prioritization look like from a company's point of view?
Well, you need to focus on the key changes with the regulations. So post-market surveillance and vigilance are your top priorities since this whole IVDR change came out of post-market surveillance. Now, with a lot more requirements there, you need to put the structure and pieces in place so that you can fulfill all those requirements, whether it's PSURs, post-market surveillance plans, you name it. There's a ton of documentation that's involved. The second is to really identify the right economic operators to work with. Under the new IVDR, there's a definition of economic operators where everybody has legal responsibility for the product that's being distributed, imported, manufactured, you name it. So you need to make sure that you have the right people in place and that they're able to agree to the requirements of the IVDR. As an example, the importer that you might have been using for 50 years might have been fantastic in what they did, but they didn't keep adequate documentation or they weren't carrying out the level of diligence that's expected under the IVDR. And now that's an absolute. So then you really need to look at your clinical and stability data after that. And again, there's a huge push under the IVDR to make sure that you have suitable clinical evidence to support the product being launched into the European Union. You can take that information from post-market surveillance studies, from clinical studies, from multiple sources, even literature, but you need to justify it. And finally, there's a lot more post-market surveillance activities that must be completed and regularly updated. The amount of work involved just on the post-market activities alone could mean significant process and resourcing changes.
What kind of challenge does this requirement create?
Well, a lot of companies that have products on the market for a long time don't have studies. They haven't done that post-market surveillance activity, and they're going to be short on clinical data. So they might have to actually reconsider doing some clinical studies, which sounds absolutely ridiculous for products that have been on the market for 20 years. And the same goes for stability and usability. You've got companies that have manufactured reagents for a long time. They're going into laboratories where they know what to do with them, they know where to store them, they know how to use them. But now there's an expectation that you have some documentation as to how you've proven those usability conditions are appropriate, that you've proven that the appropriate storage conditions associated with the product are met. So you have to be looking at those as well.
And what about the recent European Commission proposal to delay implementation for IVDR? Is this beneficial? And does this give people more time, or does it just delay the inevitable?
Well, that's a really good question. So ultimately, we've been given a lifeboat, but it's a really small boat. The European proposal that was ratified in December is good, but also a bit short-sighted. The proposal was mainly there to address the fact that notified bodies are overwhelmed with the applications coming through. You know, again, there's only six with a seventh coming on board. So this gives notified bodies some breathing room and allows the manufacturers that have already manufactured product on the market previously anywhere from 2 to 3 extra years to go through that required notified body review under the IVDR. So although it's a bit of a reprieve, what people have to remember is that it doesn't change a couple of things. The first one is that it doesn't change your requirements to be compliant to the IVDR. There's an expectation that the systems to be compliant are in place as of 26th of May, 2022. And whether it's your quality management system, your post-market surveillance system, it doesn't matter. You need to be compliant. The only thing that you get a bit of a reprieve from is that you don't have to put the documentation set to the notified body review at this point. The other thing is that new products automatically must be compliant with the IVDR. There is no grace period for new products. So companies that want to introduce new products and innovate are going to be fighting for a seat at the table with those companies that have historic products that are now going through the review for the first time. So it's going to be a struggle. And that's the unfortunate part about it. There's no caveat for new products because they have to be compliant to the new guidance.
Thank you, TJ. With that in mind, how do companies find ways to make sure their innovative IVDs are coming to market?
Well, there's a couple of things we recommend here. So the first one is to really look at what your product's doing. Is this a change to an existing product? Can you use the previous history of your existing products within a change notification rather than a whole new application to the notified body? Because that might be a heck of a lot more palatable for the notified body and might even get reviewed in a timely manner to allow you that leeway with the European Commission delays. The second thing is to engage with those notified bodies as soon as you can. I'm not suggesting that you should engage with them as soon as you have, or if you don't even have your design and development figured out. But as soon as you have that, even if you have a bit additional testing to be done, engage with those notified bodies. Get a number in the queue so that when they're available, you're ready to go. And then the last thing is to make sure that your quality management documentation is complete. If you apply to the notified body, they're going to be looking for those pieces. And if you have these quality management systems documentation aligned, the review process takes less time. So effectively, the better the documentation is, the less time it takes for review.
TJ, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing some really valuable insights with our audience. Thank you also to our listeners. I hope you take some valuable information from this episode on IVDR and apply it in one way or another to your business. Please make sure you subscribe so that you can join us again for future podcasts.